This is John Bacon. One of Michigan football's most famous players died earlier this month. Bob Chappius played for the Wolverines in the 40s and was a College Football Hall of Famer and a World War II hero. But that is not how Chappius described himself. You can read about Bob Chappius' heroics as a World War II tail gunner or as a Michigan Wolverines tailback just about anywhere, from his Time magazine cover story in 1947 to his obituary in the New York Times last week. But my favorite stories are the ones he told his granddaughters. I met Chappius in 2000 while writing a story about his famous 1947 Michigan Wolverine football team. But I really got to know him when I coached his grandson Bobby's high school hockey team. When Bobby went to Culver Academies for a post-grad year, I joined the family to see him graduate. We were all relaxing in a hotel suite, eating and drinking, while Chappius' teenage granddaughters started goading their grandfather to tell us stories. He could not refuse them, but he shared the kind of stories you couldn't find in magazines, like when his father told him he could go to any school he wanted, except Ohio State. But Chappius skipped the part about leaving college to volunteer for the Army, where he served as an aerial gunner on a B-25. His son interjected to explain how their granddad's plane was shot down over northern Italy, forcing the crew to parachute behind enemy lines. Chappius waved it off. Everybody says we're heroes, but what kind of an idiot wouldn't jump from a burning plane? He did tell his granddaughters about how his crew had to hide in a ditch behind some bushes while Italian soldiers marched by. One of his crewmates pulled out his knife and motioned to attack. Chappius grabbed his shoulder, pushed him down, and whispered, "They've got us outnumbered 30-3, and they've got guns. I think you've seen too many Hollywood movies. We are staying put." Smart move. They were rescued by a local family who hid them in their attic. They buried the Americans' identifying clothing, but Chappius drew the line at his Michigan ring. "This stays with me," he said. "If it does," the Italian said, "you might be staying with it." Chappius relented, but it says something that he actually debated the decision. Chappius did tell the girls that 3 months later, he moved to Ann Arbor, where he met their grandmother. But he failed to mention how he led football coach Fritz Kreisler's amazing new offense, the Mad Magicians. On one play, 7 different players could touch the ball. With so many laterals and passes and fakes, they looked more like the Harlem Globetrotters than a football team, and often fooled the cameraman into following the wrong player. He did not tell his granddaughters that, even as a tailback, he set Michigan passing records that stand to this day. Nor did he tell them that Michigan won the national title that year, or that he finished a close second for the Heisman Trophy. But he did tell his granddaughters about the first time Kreisler put him in on defense to follow Army star Doc Blanchard. Chappius got fooled, and he got beat badly. And that, Chappius said, was your grandfather's last play on defense. When he died at age 89, I helped the family write the obituary. They told his stories, they repeated his one-liners, and they laughed a lot more than you'd expect. They decided to close with this. More than his many accomplishments, his family remembers him the way he wanted to be remembered, for his humility, his wit, warmth, generosity, and unfailing kindness. We've heard a lot about the Greatest Generation and the Michigan man. Sometimes I think the more we talk about them, the less real they seem. But this I know. I just saw one go by.